Olchek got to it. Olchek busting at center ice, comes over the line, shooting. He scores! Olchek! A shorthanded goal! He just blew right through the defense at center. Coffey couldn't even catch him. Fired it by Fjord on the sixth side.
For all you young hockey players out there, this is Eddie Olchek. Don't do what Cap's doing right now, but kidding aside, you're listening to Cap and Hawk.
Olchek!
Captain Hall on CSN Chicago and WGNplus.com. Mark Carmen filling in for the Capman, who might be en route, in traffic, on the way, on a runway somewhere. But he is traveling, has some delays. He will be here shortly. We are talking Blackhawks. We're talking Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose press conference is going to be carried live at 10:30. The press conference about Derrick Rose. Gar Forman, the Bulls general manager, will bring us up to date. On Derek's surgery going on this morning. We're pleased to welcome Eddie Olchek, the Blackhawks TV color analyst from Florida this morning. Good morning, Eddie. Great response last night by the Blackhawks. Great response by the third and fourth lines, especially, who set the tone. How did you see last night unfolding, and what stood out to you?
Well, David, good morning. Carm, good to be with you guys. Thanks for having me. It wasn't much of a test the first, 30 minutes of the game. Very disappointing with the lack of execution by the Florida Panthers in these last couple of games against the Blackhawks. And maybe that was the perfect medicine for a team that that needed to turn it around, needed to get 4 points out of a possible 4 points, and they got it, David. But you're right. I think it was right from the get-go. Every line came out, had a real strong shift. And I'm glad you made mention of the fourth line. I thought that the Kruger, Smith, Nordstrom line really did a lot of good things, gave some energy, created some chances, killed the clock. Did exactly what your fourth line needs to do, and chip in and kill some penalties as well when you think about the rotation of Kruger and Smith, And then the second shift of the game for the Teravainen, Shaw, Bickle line, they scored the big goal, a couple of big hits on that shift with Bickle and Shaw, and then Tavo, that is a nice little give-and-go out of the corner. And I mean, that's what you need. You do need everybody to pitch in, and it doesn't necessarily mean about the offensive part. And I've said this for the last couple of days, David, is that for people to think that the Blackhawks have been in this, this funk over the course of the last 2 months is because Ben Smith and Marcus Kruger haven't scored, I think is irresponsible. This team is based on their star players stepping up. It's based on them being able to exit their zone from the defensive zone up to the offensive zone, play with the puck, manage the puck better, not be on their heels. And, if they can play like they have the last couple of games, and again, I say that with it highlighted that, Florida did not have much of a pushback. I mean, they pushed back in the second period a tad yesterday, and then they had a really good third period at the United Center. But other than that, the Hawks will get a big test tonight against a real fast, high-scoring team in the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I would say that it's a real positive, but I think cautiously knowing that the competition is going to get a lot stiffer here tonight.
Edzo, where are you sitting now on the Petrovic hit on Kane?
I don't understand the question.
Well, was it dirty or was it not in your mind? I know when it happened, I thought the reaction was pretty much that it was. Are you still believing that?
Oh, hold on, Carm. Hold on a second.
Okay.
So what? So you're asking me if I'm retracting what I said after the hit or what? I really don't understand what the hell you're asking me.
I think in the moment maybe. You get to look at the replay 10 more times. Maybe you have a different opinion. I don't know. Maybe not.
No, I don't. It was a dangerous, reckless play. That's it. It was a push 6 or 7 feet away from the board. I thought it was a dangerous play. Was there intent? I mean, I hate to think any player would say, I'm gonna push a guy in the center of the back, and I hope he falls forward and he hits his shoulder and he's out for 3 months. I'm not intelligent, so I've been called dumb before, to think that there haven't been players that have played in the game, that have played in the National Hockey League, that haven't gone out there and tried to put some hurt on somebody. But on that particular play, was he trying to push Patrick Kane head first into the boards? Probably not, but he certainly knew that if he gave him a good push, there was a pretty good chance that he could fall off balance. So, you know, I mean, I've heard this from specific people and certain people, and since you opened up the door, Carm, I guess I got to walk through it. My reaction was to the hit. It had nothing to do with the injury. I've seen that play 1,000 times. It's a dangerous play. We're trying to get it out of the game, regardless of how subtle it is. And look, the National Hockey League felt it was a hockey play that went bad. Okay, that's fine. Don't have to agree with it. But at the end of the day, I'm not backing off my initial reaction and what I said, that I thought it was a dangerous, reckless play, because you know exactly what you're doing there. You know exactly what can happen if you push a guy in the center of the back. And I don't know how to compare it to other sports. I was thinking about it on the plane ride.
That's
down.
Hard, though, Eddie. It's hard because of the spot on the ice, and it is such unique situation.
It is, David. But yeah. I mean, I was thinking about that, and I was going, okay, well, is it a second baseman turning a double play when a guy goes, instead of sliding 3 or 4 feet from the bag, where he decides he's going to slide 6 inches from the bag and rolls and goes ahead and takes the guy's knees out there? Is that type of play where the player is not expecting to have a guy, you know, chop block him or whatever the terminology may be? I mean, I don't know. That was the one thing that came to mind. And, you know, nowadays in the National Football League, when a receiver goes up, I mean, he's defenseless, right? They're trying to protect those guys going up for a ball. And if a guy comes up, a D-back or a safety comes up and a guy goes up for a ball, if a guy goes nice and low and says, you know what, when he goes up, I'm going to catch him right under the knee so that he comes spinning down like a cartwheel, and we'll see if he can protect himself. So, I mean, those are the things you're trying to get out of. And, again, I don't think there was the intent, but certainly the intent to push him off balance, and then he became off balance, and you saw what happened.
Yeah, the comparison to the other sports is a tough one, Eddie, but I think that you're onto something there. I think it reminded me, too, of, like, after an interception sometimes you see offensive players who are unsuspecting. They're not expecting to get hit, and they do, and the defensive player has a choice. Can I clean his clock and really make a play, or can I just do something that is within the spirit of the game and respect that opponent because I know that I could inflict some bad harm here? So it's a point well taken. But let's get to the overall response, because I think the Hawks did what they needed to do. They played a physical game two nights in a row. Last night, and I want to get specifically, Andrew Shaw was as active as he's been in a while. I wonder, number one, was that because of he feels a little bit of pressure, or is that because he was back on the wing with Tavo centering, and when he's on the wing as a forward, he can be a little bit more aggressive in his style that he likes?
Yeah, I think it's probably the latter. I think Brian Bickle touched on it in the intermission when I interviewed him, and you know, I think he kind of alluded to that where, you know, as a winger, and again, I mean, we go back to, I think it was last year, and again, I can't remember yesterday, let alone what happened last year, but, you know, everybody thought that, you know, putting Patrick Kane at center was the greatest thing, and he's going to have the puck more, and, you know, he's going to be dynamic and whatever. Well, as we said, David, last year, it's a much different game when you're playing 200 feet than it is when you're playing a 145-foot game as a winger. And I think for Andrew Shaw's situation, he's not a big guy. He competes super hard. He plays much bigger than his size. And I think for him, it's less responsibility. As a center iceman, you got to play the 200-foot game. You have the faceoffs to worry about. You got to really worry about your defensive assignments when it comes to playing down low with your defensemen. So there's a lot that goes into it. There is no question about it. So for him, he can be a little bit more relaxed. He can be a little bit more on the line, at times over the line. But that's what you love about Andrew Shaw. And, I mean, you know, Pat had mentioned, I mean, that was his first point in, you know, almost what a baker's dozen over the course of the last little while for the Blackhawks. And Andrew Shaw is an important part of this team. He brings the Blackhawks a little bit of something that they don't have a whole heck of a lot of, and that's a physical presence. Even though he's a smaller guy in stature, he plays bigger than he is. And when you put him and Bickle on the same line, other than that, you don't have a lot of nastiness or, you know, physical presence without those guys. But I agree with you, David, is that Andrew Shaw had an impact on the game, and, you know, it'd be nice to see them gain some chemistry here and, over the course of the next little while, because that's the way it looks it's going to be depending on what Stan Bowman decides to do in between now and Monday with the trade deadline.
Is there a name out there, Edzo, that excites you? And more so than a name, if you could pick, if you could only add one, a defenseman or a forward, what would you choose?
Well, Carm, I would have to say, assuming and that Johnny Oduya is going to be back at some point here before the playoffs. I mean, I don't know exactly his timetable. I know what the Blackhawks had said after the game when Johnny got hurt. It was Joel had said a few games, and then the next day it became a couple of weeks. So whenever that might be, you know he's coming back. So you got the big four. I think there's still Finn back there. So if you're only giving me one, Carm, it's like a piece of banana or apple pie. I guess I'd have to go with the banana, so I guess I'm going to have to go with the back ender. I'm going to have to go with the defenseman.
You do love a banana cream pie. We know this.
You're darn right I do. You know what? I can use one right
about now. Oh, gosh. I hear you.
Hey, for the record, Petrovic, by the way, I agreed with you, and I agree with you now, but so many people are saying that it wasn't dirty and he's not getting suspended.
Well, no, you know what? Look, that's what makes this – I mean, look, that's what makes our country great. Everybody's got an opinion, and that is fine. I mean, look, people can agree to disagree to whatever. It's what you see, and there are people that that look at that, and then in other realms, you know, have an opinion about certain things. Is that, you know, if I don't want to say if you've never been in that spot or you don't follow the game as closely. I mean, those type of plays happen a lot. I mean, look at some of the plays that have happened, the suspensions that have happened when guys have gotten drilled from behind 2 or 3 feet from the boards. It's all about the intent. And David, we've had this argument over the course – not argument. We've had this discussion over the course of the last couple of years. Like, I'm a big believer of the act of a player should – it should not really – the determining factor, and obviously in this case it isn't, and I give the league credit for that, is it's a hockey play that they felt went bad. But it shouldn't be the injury. Like, just because somebody's got a cement jaw and somebody's got a glass jaw and the act is the same on either one of those guys, it should be penalized that way. Whether a guy gets up or not, if you feel it's reckless, if you feel it was intended to hurt somebody, well, then you go ahead and suspend the guy regardless if he is hurt. But the one thing I will say is for people that disagree with that or said it wasn't a dangerous play or it wasn't reckless, all I ask is why did the National Hockey League adopt the hybrid icing rule? What did we try to avoid? What are you trying to eliminate on icings? Races for icings. What are you trying to eliminate? Guys going
into the board.
Into the boards.
Yep.
A subtle little shot, a trip on a stick, and that play to me really is no different than a guy going back for an icing call. And again, I don't think there was any intent on Petrovic for sure to hurt Patrick Kane. But I just thought in being in that spot and seeing that play happen thousands and thousands of times too often, that it's a dangerous play. And players have to get their stick down and know you got to live to fight another day and learn to play that specific situation a lot different. And you see what's happening in the National Football League as well, right?
Yes.
I mean, leading with your helmet. I mean, everybody's trying to protect the player and athlete. Collisions are going to happen. Accidents are going to happen. I think that was an accident. There's no doubt about it. But again, the play was a dangerous play, regardless of the outcome.
Real quick, before we let you go, Eddie, is Darling in net tonight or Corey Crawford?
Well, I was surprised that Crawford got the start last night, David. I felt that it was Scott Darling's net to lose. He beat Florida the other night. I was surprised that Joel started Crawford, but certainly Joel's got 600-700 more wins than I ever will have. So you tip your helmet to the coach. It'll be interesting. It is back-to-back. Crawford comes off a shutout. You don't play again until Monday. Crawford didn't have much work last night, the first half of the game, David. So I think you look at that and go, probably go back to Darling, but with not a lot of workload, does he give Crow a shot here? But, I don't think you can go wrong in either in either decision. So I probably should just keep my lips closed on this one because I thought he was going to play Darling last night. So we'll see what happens.
Tonight. Eddie, have a safe trip to Tampa. Great job last night breaking that down, and we'll look forward to watching you tonight on CSN.
Thanks, Edzo.
Unfortunately, I will not be doing the game. I'm headed to Philadelphia. I got a game there tomorrow.
That's right.
I'm
heard you
be watching with everybody else. So Stevie Conroy will be will be filling my skates tonight, and him and Pat. I look forward to watching them from Philadelphia. So we'll talk to you guys after.
Have a safe trip to Philly, Eddie.
Okay, boys.
Thanks a lot. Eddie Olczyk, CSN analyst, man about town. He knows his hockey. Carm.
He jumped me. Went right at it.
I love it.
I wasn't even trying to box that door to the corner.
Loved it.
I thought it was a pretty benign question.
I love it when Eddie Olczyk gets his back up a little bit.
God bless.
Those gloves.
Bring it on. I can handle it, and hey, that's
You handled it well. You handled it well. Okay, we're going to switch gears. We're going to get to Bulls because we have a 10:30 press conference to carry here live. Gar Forman addressing the Derrick Rose surgery. Want to get to another Bulls issue involving Jeff Van Gundy. Right after this, Cap and Haw, Carmen for the Catman, CSN Chicago, and WGNplus.com.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN Plus.
This isn't new to Chicago Bulls basketball. All the way back to Phil Jackson, the team has publicly supported their coach while privately oftentimes undermining that same person. You saw it with Vinny Del Negro, Scott Skiles. I mean, think about it. They ran Phil Jackson out after winning all those championships. And I think it's wrong. And I think it's wrong for the town. I think it's wrong for the team. And it certainly has not been fair to Tom Thibodeau.
That was the voice of Jeff Van Gundy, ESPN analyst, back on January 23rd. He was defending Tom Thibodeau, carrying Tom Thibodeau's water, advocating for Tom Thibodeau. However you want to phrase it, he was using old history to try to frame the present. Jerry Krause and Phil Jackson in 1998 have nothing to do with the Tom Thibodeau front office issues. Cap and Haw Show, Carmen for the Catman, CSN Chicago, WGNplus.com, 10:30. Shortly, Gar Forman will have a press conference addressing the Derrick Rose surgery. So, Carm, in today's Chicago Tribune, Ed Sherman tracks down Jeff Van Gundy.
Great job by Ed Sherman.
Yes, it was. And who explains, Jeff Van Gundy, that Leon Rose, who represents Tom Thibodeau for CAA, has asked Van Gundy to tone it down. Also in the story, he reveals that Gar Forman, after he made those comments, tracked him down at halftime and berated him, which I think, you know, look, it happens. Executives yell at media people, coaches do it, players do it. Stay above the fray. I think Gar can stay above the fray. It's not necessary, but again, I understand the frustration because there was a sense in the Bulls organization that this was a hit job. And I think John Paxson the next day called it pathetic. I just don't think it was, you know, I think it was agenda-driven. And Jeff Van Gundy explained himself, sort of apologized, but I don't know if they really did apologize.
Multiple sides to this one. From the Bulls side, I am always amazed at why are they so sensitive at times to what people like Jeff Van Gundy or David Haw or whoever say about the team. They just seem to...
I don't know that the Bulls really are.
Well,
as much as some other teams in town, as much as some other front offices in town.
That's interesting. But still, I mean, Gar's going up to Jeff Van Gundy and like...
Yeah, it was an emotional response.
Right. You don't
It was more of a personal response than a professional one.
And maybe their relationship goes back a long time that, he...
Well, this isn't the first time
that
Jeff Van Gundy has gone through the media, used his platform to take veiled shots at the Bulls management. That's documented. We could go back to 2013, and there would be – I could call up story after story. There are veiled references to that.
And Jeff Van Gundy doesn't need to talk about that either. He doesn't need to say, well, you know, Gar came up to me and swore at me, or whatever, however he put it in Ed Sherman's piece.
That's interesting.
And the other part of it is, hello, you were just asked by Leon Rose to tone it down a bit. You're not toning it down when you talk to Ed Sherman and say that I was asked to tone it down. You're toning it up.
Well, that's interesting, too.
I mean,
that's a good point.
You can't tone it down doesn't mean that you're that like that's as much as you could tone it up as possible. They're asking me to shut up, and I guess I will, but maybe I won't. Come on, man.
We will hear from him on Sunday. He'll do the Bulls Clippers game, I believe, at noon at the United Center.
It's not only on national TV that people are listening to Jeff Van Gundy. There's this whole other
medium. Do you buy his take that when he speaks, Jeff Van Gundy, close friends of Tom Thibodeau, former assistant coach on the same staff as Tom Thibodeau. Do you buy his take that when he speaks, he's not speaking on behalf of Tom Thibodeau?
I buy it somewhat.
I have to think that his viewpoint, though, is colored by the conversations he has with one of his good friends. I have to think that his opinion of Bulls management, when I hear Jeff Van Gundy speak of Bulls management, human nature says that he is influenced by what Tom Thibodeau thinks of Bulls management. So if he says disparaging things about Bulls management, my sense is that it's coming from Thibs.
The one thing I don't believe, though, is that Tom Thibodeau is calling up Jeff Van Gundy and saying, hey, can you go on TV and defend me? I mean, maybe he's doing it on his own and he feels motivated to defend his friend, but I'd be shocked to learn.
No! Tom Thibodeau's not saying anything like
right.
that.
He wouldn't.
He's just sort of smirking as this all unfolds in front of him. Remember when John Gruden killed Cutler? Killed Cutler and continues to kill Cutler.
Did it again.
Yesterday on Mike and Mike. Previously this winter on some ESPN program. And then he went on Monday Night Football and killed him. And one of his good friends in coaching is who? Mark Trestman. At the time, you were interpreting that as John Gruden executing Mark Trestman's hit job on Jay Cutler because of his knowledge that he was privy to during conversations that we're not privy to. I get the same sense when I hear Van Gundy talk about Bulls management because, number one, has nothing to do with Jerry Krause and Phil Jackson. Number two, Vinny Del Negro, please? I might have grabbed his tie if I was around him for more than 5 minutes. I mean, the guy was a disaster as a head coach. Scott Skiles was an excellent head coach, and you can't find anybody in the Bulls management that would say anything bad about Scott Skiles' basketball acumen. After 5 years, probably Skiles would be the first to tell you he can wear some people down too. I'm not defending Bulls management, but I think everything has to have context, and when Jeff Van Gundy talks, I don't think you get that.
You would think that people would be more professional than, okay, this is my guy, so I'm going to go on the air and defend him, and I'm going to torch this guy because I don't like him. I mean, that's not really how the world should work, but in reality, I mean, you see it all the time,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that's
you see it all the time.
So
you see it all the time. And by the way, Phil Favia on Twitter, don't let Hall get away with saying Rose has been hurt, and that's why he's been inconsistent. Stop babying Rose. Did I say that, Carm?
I don't remember
you've
you saying
that. Been here since 9 o'clock. I know that, you know, you're hockey talk, you're immersed yourself, you got Eddie Olczyk all worked up. But did I say that the Bulls were making that it's an excuse for Derrick Rose because he was injured? I said that it could explain why he's been up and down if, and that's a big word there, if his knee has been bothering him, that would explain a lot.
He's also, as Tibbs has said a million times, he's been out for 2 years.
Not making excuses for Derrick Rose.
So no one's making excuses? Come on now. No one's. And I don't think Derrick Rose, by the way, is asking for any excuses. You know.
No, I think Derrick Rose is I'd be curious to see when he addresses the media, how his state of mind is, how committed he is. Doug McDermott, it was a 20-minute procedure.
Walked out.
So Derrick Rose, who knows? Maybe he'll be at the press conference with Gar Forman. Maybe he'll limp in. Wouldn't that be quite a show? And whatever he does, it'll be right here in about 7 minutes on CSN Chicago. We will carry that live. Gar Forman meets the media at the United Center. We will carry that here. We'll come back here, and we'll have a reaction to that after the press conference. We will stay right here on CSN Chicago and WGNplus.com. Cap and Haw, Carmen for the Capman, David Haw. And we will be back right after this with the Gar Forman press conference.
Now more Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus.
I think Derek's ready to attack it. I do. And like I said, I think he's anxious to attack this rehab and to get back on the floor with his teammates. You know, this type of injury, like I said, he's full weight bearing today. And really within about a week, he'll be able to start loading up as far as his activity is concerned. He'll be out on the floor, you know, doing basketball related drills, shooting, those type of things.
Welcome back to Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus. He's David Haw. I'm David Kaplan. Mark Carmen is here as well. And don't forget, Sports Talk Live at 5 o'clock today. And then Who do we
Hawks.
Have?
Hawks
we
got and Lightning tonight. At 6:30.
Hawks and yep. Lightning tonight here on CSN. That was Gar Foreman.
So Derrick Rose starts his rehab tomorrow.
Yep, he walked out of the hospital today.
And that's good news, as Casey Johnson reported this morning. That's what Doug McDermott did. And sounds like in a week, Derrick Rose could be back on the court, doing little things, gradually building his way back to a 4 to 6 week recovery time, where if nothing else gets in the way, sounded to me like the Bulls feel like their goals that existed before the surgery still exist.
Alex Quigley, our buddy, tweeted something, and I thought it was a great point. After Patrick Kane's injury and D. Rose's injury, most people thought Kane's out 6 weeks, he'll be back, and Rose is done for the year. Now you flip it a few days, Rose will be back in 6 weeks, and you hope the Hawks are still alive when Kane's ready to play.
Oh, it's still a lot of hope there, Cap. I mean, I still think that, yeah, there's a lot. Was Tuesday night a pretty devastating couple hours for Chicago sports fans? Absolutely. Do you feel a little bit better about the state of affairs for both teams Friday morning, 3 days later? Yeah, I suppose. Am I interviewing myself like Jerry Angelo used to? Absolutely, I am. But I do think that it's still a long way to go. And the one thing that hasn't changed is that physically this has always been presented as not going to be as tall of a mountain to climb for Derrick Rose as it will be mentally. Mentally, we think he's in a good state of mind. It sounds like from Gar Foreman that he approached this, he's going to attack this. You could understand why he would be, you know, tentative, because he's attacked two previous rehabs. This isn't as arduous as the past two. We'll see.
All right, let's go to the phones. 312-235-2525. Carm, you have any thoughts?
That was as good as you could have hoped for right there.
Agreed.
I thought that Gar was honest. I think that, and I believe him. I think Rose is absolutely trying to get back on the court this year, and I think we're going to see it. So it's what you wanted to hear.
All right, let's go to the phones. 312-235-2525. Rhino in Chicago. What's going on, Rhino?
Hey, Rhino.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Hey, I just got a comment for you guys. I just had a procedure done on my knees. I had an ACL on the left, MCL on the right, the 16th of January.
This all happened at the same time?
You know, I wouldn't recommend it. I had it done the same day.
No, I mean, did you get injured on both knees at the same time?
No. They were just lingering injuries.
Okay.
And they recommended getting both same day. But my MCL, in the same day, it was like new. It's been 6 weeks. It's like a new leg. It's like a new knee. Okay, so I just wanted to give some reassurance to the Bulls fans out there that Derrick Rose could come back and come back even better than he was before.
Thanks, Rhino.
Appreciate it, Rhino. Thanks, man.
All right, guys. See Thank you.
312-235-2525.
Does Rhino play NBA basketball?
I don't know. When's
He's
last
a second
time?
Baseman.
How did Rhino guard Kyrie Irving after those surgeries?
Love you, curious. Rhino.
Love you, Rhino.
Let's go back to the phones and Angel in Indiana. Angel, what's going on?
Hey, Angel.
How's it going, guys? Man, this my only comment is I'm not worried about Derek. He never come back. Would he have the heart to come back or the mental status to come back, actually?
Yeah, well, I mean, heart, and we appreciate the call, Angel. Heart makes it sound to me, David, I don't know if you feel this way, when you question someone's heart, it's negative. When you say, can you get over a mental hurdle, that's a lot softer way to put it.
Well, I think that is a softer way to put it, but I think the skepticism is a product of the last two rehabilitation processes. And I think that where there was scrutiny in 2013, if Derrick Rose was going to come back, he set out that year. There was more scrutiny last year with the suggestion or feeling that he could have played because that meniscus – repair was done in November and Derrick Rose missed the rest of the season. So I get where people are coming from. The sense is that this is, I don't want to suggest the Bulls being as public and as optimistic as they are is intended to put pressure on Derrick Rose. I don't think that they're that calculated and they wouldn't do that with their franchise player. But the fact of the matter is, it is public, it is out there, and the pressure now is on. So if he doesn't return in 6 weeks, then he further damages a legacy that's already stained in Chicago and a reputation that has been, you know, hurt throughout the last two injuries.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 312-235-2525. And John is in Algonquin. What's going on there, Hammer?
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. I just want to, reiterate what Hodges said. I worry more about him mentally than physically. I think the surgery was a success. And he still hasn't come back from the last surgery. He's not the same player that he was when he first started. And it seems like he's more concerned with his quality of life after basketball than winning a championship. And that's my concern with him right now, just mentally coming back from this.
Well, I think that your skepticism, John, is shared by a lot of people, because if Derrick Rose could take back one thing that he said this year.
Thanks, John.
If he regrets, it would be the comment about the graduation
and the meetings.
And the business meetings.
I don't want to be all sore in my meetings.
Because that sticks with people in the regular
fan base. I got four tweets
base.
Already that said, yeah. No, he won't be back. He's got meetings to worry about.
Yeah, I think that when people question his heart, that's what it's rooted in. Comments like that make you wonder how committed he is. Does Derrick Rose want to come back as much as you want him as a Bulls fan to come back?
I don't think when he made those comments and everybody laughs about him, I don't believe that Derrick meant him that way. He's just not that eloquent a speaker.
I don't know if he meant them that way, but he is not that eloquent a speaker, so he needs to get better advice. That's the issue. The next time he gets in front of a microphone is going to be an important time for him to sound the right tone. So hopefully somebody can get to him and say, this is what you should say and this is what you shouldn't say.
Do you have the right people around you is the question. Or do you not have enough around you? Do you need someone who can run through the interference? Maybe he ought to hire you. Bring you in.
No, I don't think so.
Team Rose.
Not for sale.
Everybody has a price. 312-235-2525. We'll take a time out. Be right back.